Let's pray, shall we? Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and pray, Lord God, that this morning your word will encourage us and challenge us. Lord, may I be faithful in speaking from your word, and may our hearts be open to hear it. We ask this, Lord, in your name. Amen. How well do you know yourself? Bit of a scary thought, isn't it? Often when people are yearning for the spiritual, it results in them seeking to discover themselves. Who do you think you are? There's that popular TV series that uses that same name. It traces people's histories back to discover their family roots. Often in the promo for the series, the people will say how discovering their past enabled them to understand more about themselves. Of course, it's a well-managed and designed to entertain us process. But I wonder what would be uncovered out of your past, or my past, if we were on the show. I guess it would be very daunting, wouldn't it, to have people nutting around in our family history and revealing it to the nation. I wonder whether they can veto anything, if it's too revealing, or is it so carefully choreographed from the beginning they already know it's not going to be. Who are you? Who are you? I guess it depends on who you ask. Their answer may well reflect what they think about you or how well they know you. If you were to go back and ask my Year 10 school teachers for their response to the question, "Who is Rick?" my half-yearly results said, "Richard is far too arrogant," but also said, "Richard is a pleasant and interesting student." There you go, different teachers, same year. I guess their answers reflect how well they knew me. Their answers reflect how well I got on with them. And their answers reflect what sort of teacher they were. In ministry, I've been described as all sorts of things, and someone once wrote a 5-page letter explaining my faults. It was single-spaced, which is even more depressing, and I won't read it out. Danielle's written me numerous pages over years, numerous letters, normally not pages, saying what she thought of me. That's slightly different to the other letter. And I'm not going to read it out either. Who am I? I guess that reflects, the answer reflects how well the person knows me. In 2010, I was asked if I'd be interested in joining the police force as a chaplain, just like in my spare time in ministry. And so I was very busy at that time, so I said, well, I don't know, let's start the process and see where it ends up. So the first part of the process was for me to get my full police check done. I didn't actually get a copy of this, but I got a phone call. And the phone call went something like this, we've discovered a few things in your past. Like, that wasn't the exact words, but there was this pregnant pause. And I was thinking, what? And eventually I sort of said, they'd left me sweating on the end of the phone line for a while, what criminal past are you talking about? To which they did explain, I think with a glee in their hearts, but I couldn't see their face, that there was a speeding fine in 2006 in Tasmania, of all places, which I did pay, by the way, but it was somewhere on my system. I was so pleased they didn't have access to all the other stuff. Actually, just kidding. Well, it's not about me, it's who are you? And what would the answer be to you as you sought to unpack who you are, got to know yourself better? I guess it depends on how well you know yourself and whether you're having a good day or a bad day. It depends on whether the other person knows you well or understands you and whether they're having a good day or a bad day. And so this morning, as we focus on knowing ourselves, as we continue to explore the spirituality from God's point of view, we're going to see that the answer to the question, who am I, is best answered by the person who knows us best. And so we're going to see what he says. And that person is not me, and it's not you. It's understanding ourselves from God's point of view and God's purposes for humanity. So often when people search for increased spirituality, they seek to answer the question, who am I, by looking within. And I think the question is best answered by asking God. because he's the one who knows ourselves best. And we don't really even know ourselves when we look within. And then can we trust what we find, whether we like it or not? In the first reading, Psalm 139, verses 1 to 4, we see the incredible detail that God knows about each of us. Let me read it. O God, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. So he knows your thoughts. I don't think I even know my own thoughts all that well. He knows what I'm about to say before it's on my tongue. You know, as the psalmist looks at this, how incredibly well God knows us, he's blown away. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Now, these days, we can watch the unborn baby grow in the womb. So, Rebecca, would you like to stand up? No. Actually, this is easier to do. There's the unborn baby in the womb. You have to go. There you go. Incredible, isn't it? That is Templeton number 2. You thought I was going to blow someone else's cover, didn't you? It's pretty amazing, isn't it? He knows much more about us than an ultrasound can show, though. The complexity of us is far more than we are able to fathom. A single cell of you is more complex than a major city. And as we grew, our frame was not hidden from him. His eyes saw our unformed bodies. No one knows us that well. No one but God. And if that doesn't blow you away enough, verse 16, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Let me tell you something about this. I don't want to know all my days. I don't want to know all my past, and I don't want to know all my future. I'm quite happy with today. I would be fearful, ashamed of the past and fearful of the future, of what people came to find out about me. And God knows it all. He knows more about me than you'll ever know, more about me than I'll ever know. And you would never speak to me if you only knew what you could find out. God knows it all. It's mind-blowing. And here's the crunch point. As we think through the issue of true spirituality and how well we know ourselves, God knows everything about you. Everything you've ever thought or said or done, everything that you will ever do and say and think. So how does he see us? Knowing that all that information about me and about you, how does God see us? Well, there's four things I want to raise. There's lots more I could. In the beginning of the Bible, at the point God made it all, it says that he didn't just make humans like the rest of creation. In Genesis chapter 1, day 6, verse 26, let me read it for you. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, let him rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Creation, as we've seen already today, is incredible, isn't it? You've got that massive stuff, the heavens, 70 trillion kilometres to get across it. You've got the incredible detail of an ant of all things. How many of those have we trodden on? And God made us separate from all of that. Nothing else in all creation is made in God's image. That's why we're capable of complex relationships or complex communication. It's why we discover and explore and appreciate and make. It's why we don't act like the rest of the animals. It's why we can appreciate and laugh and cry and care. And more importantly, it's why we're sitting here today thinking about the topic of spirituality. Nothing else in all creation is like us humans because we're made in God's image. And the high point of us being made in the image of God is our yearning for the spiritual, our ability to desire and know our Creator God, our ability to worship Him and serve Him and obey Him, to pray to Him and to share eternity with Him. There's so much we could talk about on that topic alone. We have been indoctrinated to think that we evolved out of some soup or slime. God made us in His image. We're not here by random chance accident. We are created by God in His image. We are valuable to God. And from God, we can know not just ourselves, but our purpose in life. We are valuable to God, and from Him, we get our purpose and our value. So we see in Genesis chapter 1 that God created humans in His image, male and female, He created us. And the next thing to look at, we sort of already touched on in Psalm 139, we are intimately known by that God who created us. It is unsettling to think that God knows everything about you, isn't it? It's unsettling to think that God knows me better than I know myself. Psalm 139 again, He knows my thoughts, my actions, my past and present thoughts and actions. He knows my good thoughts and my bad thoughts. The message of the Bible is that God knows you and I in intricate detail. And what would you do with that knowledge if you knew all about someone else in that sort of detail? Could you love them still? Well, the Bible says that God's love for you is unmatched. It is steadfast love. He loves us deeply. Nothing else in all creation matches how much God loves you. Which leads us to the next point. This love that God has towards us is so great that He thinks that you and I are worth dying for. Because He wants to rescue us from the consequences of our sin, and He wants to give us the opportunity to spend eternity with Him. We read this morning from John 3:16, probably the most well-known verse of the Bible, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him might not perish but have eternal life. And so God knows us in incredible detail, and it wasn't out of ignorance that He went and sent His Son to die for us. It was in that intricate knowledge of who we were that Jesus came and died for us. So great is His love that we are worth dying for. That should actually bring us great joy. It's a bit sombering thought, I think. Should give us great joy and great security, though. You see, we're often afraid of knowing ourselves because we don't know what others would do with that information. We don't know what we would do. But God knows it, and He still loves us. Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His love for us in this. Whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What wonderful news. So how does God see us? We've been made in His image. He knows us in intricate detail, the bad stuff as well. He loves us to the point that we are worth dying for. There's one more incredible thing I just want to bring to your attention, because it reflects just how God sees us and His willingness to restore us to a full relationship with Him. In Romans chapter 8, verse 17, it says, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ." You know what an heir is? It's someone who inherits. And they're treated so close as a son that you get the inheritance when the old man carks it. For those people who are yearning after true spirituality, who have accepted Jesus' offer of forgiveness, these people have a relationship with God, and they have their relationship with God restored because of what Jesus has done. and God considers you a son or a daughter of him. But you're not a son or a daughter that's left out of the will or kept at arm's length because they're not quite certain. You're a son or a daughter that has been grabbed in and made a full winner of the inheritance of eternal life. You are co-heirs with Christ. That's something to actually stop and think about, isn't it? That's mind-blowing. Because you know yourself and you know God, and he has adopted you in as a co-heir with Christ. This is what true spirituality is all about. It's the ultimate reconnection with God as his children for all eternity, enjoying an inheritance he planned for you right from the beginning. There's an awful lot I could say, but I'm not going to say any more this morning. You'll be pleased at that. I haven't really critiqued the wrong ways that people go about knowing themselves. I haven't critiqued the emptiness of the answers that our society offers. And if you've got questions along those lines, please put them in the box. But I do want to finish with one question, and that is, how should knowing ourselves change the way we live? So let's walk away with here with not just a warm, fuzzy feeling, but some practical stuff. And the short answer you'll be pleased to know I'm going to give you first. If we're made by God in his image, if we're loved by God to the point that he would die for us, if we've accepted his offer of forgiveness, then we are adopted by his son, by God as his sons and daughters, and we will enjoy an inheritance with him that he's planned with us for all eternity. So how would we respond to God? It makes sense that we'd want to live in a way which glorifies and honours our loving God and Saviour. After all, he knows what's best. There's the short answer. The long answer is read his word and find it out, or actually make it easier for you. Come along next week and we're going to look at the topic of improving ourselves. Let's pray. Lord, we look around and see incredible grandeur in this world. We see incredible detail in the microscopic. We see incredible complexity and care and beauty. And we see ourselves. We thank you, Lord God, that your word has shown us just how wonderful we are. Nothing else in all creation is made in your image. Nothing else in all creation did you die for. And nothing else in all creation do you offer an inheritance that goes forever. Such an incredible message, Lord, one that we want to take on board ourselves, but one that we want to make sure others know about. We thank you for your great love, Lord. Help us to live as your people, to the praise and glory of your precious name. And we ask this, Lord, in your name. Amen.